Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and today Israeli troops have killed five Palestinian militants, including a top terrorist who said just yesterday to the Associated Press that he would never be caught. He'd never be caught. Now, I don't know if he was making a distinction between being caught and being killed, but today he was killed by Israeli troops. And his name, I've been trying to remember his name right before the show came on. It's a very unique kind of name for a terrorist. It's something like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. No, that was the bad hair day guy in Pakistan. Was it Mohammed Atta? No, that was the 9/11 terrorist. Was it John Alvin Mohammed? No, that was the terrorist sympathizer sniper. Was it Abu Mohammed Abbas? No, he's the Abu Abbas terrorist. Was it Jaish E. Mohammed? No, that's a Pakistani army of Mohammed. Who was? Was it Professor Hafiz Mohammed Saeed? Oh, no, that's the leader of the Pakistani Army of the Righteous terrorist organization. Oh, yeah, this one was Mohammed Shatawi. Mohammed Shatawi, top Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade fugitive who was killed today, who said yesterday to the Associated Press that he would never be caught. And I don't know if he was making a distinction between being caught and being killed, but today that terrorist was killed. Okay. Now, on yesterday's show, we discussed further the criticism that Dr. James Dobson has been receiving from some Christians for Focus on the Family supporting a Colorado Bill 166 that's basically a living together benefits bill. It gives reciprocal benefits to people who live together. And it does not apply to heterosexuals, but it applies specifically to homosexuals, and they would be the primary recipients of the benefits of this bill. And of course, Focus on the Family is doing this, they think, because it's politically beneficial to do an end run around some homosexual legislative efforts. But here at Bob Enyart Live and at Denver Bible Church, we've urged people to realize this is a big political mistake. Well, one of the people who has pointed out that Focus on the Family is going in the wrong direction by supporting basically this homosexual benefits bill, although the bill doesn't mention homosexuals explicitly, one of the people is Dr. Paul Cameron, and Dr. Dobson took a special exception to Dr. Cameron's criticism on his radio show. So we have now joining us on Bob Enyart Live, Dr. Paul Cameron. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Dr. Cameron, we've had you on in the past. You are the founder of Family Research Institute.
Yes.
And when Dr. Dobson mentioned you, he wasn't quite sure your position or whether or not you were a researcher. And as I recall, we've reported on much of your research that was published in one scientific journal titled called Psychology Reports. Is that accurate?
And you've done Psychological Reports, and I've published in other journals as well, of course.
Yeah, and you've done some of the world's largest studies on the homosexual lifestyle over the years.
That's correct. We've done fairly large surveys of all kinds of different aspects of homosexuality. So I guess you'd say I'm kind of an expert in the area.
And over the years, in fact, for about 15 years here at Bob Enyart Live, we've pointed people to your studies and your website. Could you give out your website? Because people will want to check it out.
Sure. Family Research Inst for Institute.org. That's Family Research Inst, INST.org.
Okay. Now, Focus on the Family has supported this Bill 166. And a few days ago, we had Senator Sean Mitchell on this program explaining and defending the bill. And we took issue with him that the bill is going to be counterproductive and further erode Christian moral values. But could you explain why you have criticized Focus on the Family for supporting this Bill 166?
Well, there are two basic reasons. One, by supporting this bill, which gives some, but not all, the benefits of marriage to homosexual cohabitants, and only homosexual cohabitants, not heterosexual cohabitators. It goes against the long history, 1900 years of Christian thought in regard of what the church ought to do about homosexuality. Hmm. Remember, when the church came on the scene, in France, homosexuals were married. By the way, guess what? They can get married in France again. Hmm. But until Christian thinking and Christian policies were overlooked or discarded, for all the time in between, Christianity forbade the marriage or any benefits to homosexuals as homosexuals.
Right. For the most part, in fact, if you go to Judeo-Christian morality from Moses, homosexuality is not only a sin, but it was also a crime from Moses through Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, till America's founding fathers, till just a couple decades ago, homosexuality was basically criminal in Judeo-Christian legal history.
Absolutely. It was till 1962, until the state of Illinois became the first to say, well, let's not make it a crime. And of course, it was just a couple of years ago in 2003 that our magnificent Supreme Court decided that you couldn't even make it a crime. It was too okay.
Yeah, the Republican U.S. Supreme Court, with 7 of the 9 justices nominated by Republican presidents, voted so that it is now de facto the law of the land that homosexuality has been legitimized, even though it's one of the most destructive behaviors mankind has ever engaged in.
Right. So that's the first major objection, and I'll be glad to detail that. The second is that Stanley Kurtz has a very good piece in the current issue of National Review. It's online right now. You can read it. What we know is already, we already knew this, but Kurtz has done some additional work that I think you ought to pay attention to. In 1987, in Sweden, the first call was made to, well, you know, homosexuals deserve something.
Right.
And let's give them just a couple of things, you know, and not full marriage, not even domestic partnership. Let's give them something, and then let's see how it works out, okay? And Sweden, which has a very, very hyper-liberal environment and parliament, did just that very thing. Now, what has been the result? Not even 20 years later. Well, it's hard to say it was just because of that, mm-hmm. but Sweden now finds itself with too few children, about 1.6 children per woman. You need 2.1 just to stay even, just to keep the same number of people.
To maintain your population.
That's right.
And that's why Europe is having such a demographic problem with Muslims becoming increasingly a force in Europe, because Europeans have been opposed to marriage and children and pro-abortion, and Muslims are reproducing. That's a demographic catastrophe waiting to happen in Europe.
Absolutely. And what you have is, as marriage was devalued, and it was diluted by giving some of its benefits to homosexual couples.
Right.
Marriage became less and less attractive. And interestingly, almost all of Europe decided to give more and more benefits, marital-like benefits, to homosexuals. And more recently, this year, Great Britain, you can get married. Elton John just married his paramour. He's a married person. Now, what does marriage mean if somebody who practices a lifestyle that is so deficient that fails all three pillars of a good citizen? Just briefly, a good citizen is someone who contributes to the stuff, the produce of society, more so than he needs himself. In other words, if you're a good citizen and you're able-bodied, you're expected to work and produce more than you need so that you can take care of people who well, for instance, are old, no longer can care for themselves, people who are disabled, et cetera.
And that doesn't mean the elderly are not good people or good citizens. But in other words, you're pointing to a lifestyle of being a net asset instead of a net drain.
That's right. And homosexuals are a net drain. In other words, because of their expensive diseases, think AIDS, as well as hepatitis C, et cetera, et cetera. Think of they're more apt not to show up for work, and they die young, so they can't possibly put in their full 35 years of work. So what you've got is a net drain from these folk. Secondly, when it comes to having kids, homosexuals do have kids, as you know, or your listenership should be aware.
Yeah.
About a third to a quarter of homosexuals, both men and women, have been or are married. They have kids. But they don't have very many. They don't have enough to sustain the population. And, lamentably, homosexuals are very apt, far more apt than non-homosexuals, to sexually involve themselves with other people's children, as well as their own.
To molest children. Now, any homosexual or even just your typical liberal listening to the show will immediately get angry, especially at that point, and say that homosexuals are not more likely to molest children than our heterosexuals. I've looked at the research that you have done in depth, but could you give us just one bit of defense for that claim?
Oh, let's take something that I think everybody would agree is a terrible thing. Let's talk about the rape and murder of children.
Mm.
Certainly, everybody, no matter whether they're a Christian or not, would agree that that's a terrible thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, over the last 27 years, according to the World's Press, and we've just crunched the numbers, we found 690 instances across the English-speaking world in which people raped and murdered a child. Turns out 30% of these malefactors were homosexuals.
30%, and homosexuals make up not 30% of the population.
No, more like 3-4, maybe 2%. So that what you're talking about is a tremendous disproportionality.
Is it somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 times more likely?
Sure looks that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And if you look at foster children from the state of Illinois, not data collected by me. This is from the official data of the state of Illinois. Last 6 years of foster parent molestations, 34% committed by homosexuals.
34%, which is similar to the research you did, indicating, along with a mountain of other research projects you've done, that heterosexuals are about one-tenth as likely.
Yeah, I would put it, I think it's more precisely put, a homosexual is about 10 times more apt to molest a child than a heterosexual.
But okay.
So, and the third pillar, by the way, that everybody's supposed to do as a citizen is, well, keep their nose clean, obey the law. And homosexuals are about twice as apt to break the law, three times as apt, for instance, to use illegal drugs, about twice as apt to be on the road, high, under the influence, and so forth.
Mm.
So, if you look at it from a, forget about Christianity for a moment, just think about it, should we reward our citizens who are doing well, and should we not reward citizens who are doing ill?
Who are destructive.
That's right. And here you got homosexuals are, by their very activities, and apparently those activities transform them or whatever it does, they become destructive to themselves and destructive to society.
And all that evidence, inherently, if you take all that evidence together and you see how powerful is that of an argument, it's significant, but actually the ultimate argument is that God made us male and female, and God has revealed to us that homosexuality not only is sinful, but that it's criminal. And so then we know that from God, and then we look, and lo and behold, God's wisdom comes through the statistics. This is a very destructive lifestyle.
Right. And Christians and Christendom for 1900 years has said, never, ever reward, never, ever encourage homosexuality.
And we've gone from that to focus on the family, which I think is one example of dozens of national Christian ministries today who have changed the Christian position on homosexuality, and they now believe that men have a right to be engaged in homosexual conduct. They have legitimized homosexuality. In other words, they say it's a sin, but they declare that people have the right to live a homosexual lifestyle.
Well, more than that, they declare that out of fairness, they should be given some of the benefits once exclusively reserved for married people. And by the way, the reason married people are given what they're given is because they've earned it. People who are married provide the very best place to have kids and raise kids. The best kids come from married homes. Hmm. Everybody, including Dr. Dobson, is well aware of this.
Right.
And the question is then, why would you reduce the value? Why would you dilute the value of marriage, share the benefits, the honors of marriage with people who are, if anything, destructive, not constructive, destructive, just because, well, I don't know,
well,
maybe Dr. Dobson has had a revelation, maybe he's been converted to some, maybe he's had a visit from an angel, I don't know.
No, it's not that. Dr. Cameron, I believe they're reasonably forthright when they say, and they've said this, that this is a political maneuver, an end run. I'm putting it in my own words, but they've said there are bills in Colorado that would codify civil unions. There are groups that want to bring about homosexual marriage. So by doing this, we will prevent more dramatic legislation from being adopted. So what they're doing is they're making a political compromise, and they are legitimizing through their own law homosexual unions because they think there'll be a political victory through this. But our stand here at Bob and Yurt Live is you never do wrong that good might come of it, and you never compromise on do not murder or do not commit adultery because you think such a compromise will be politically savvy.
Well, I would agree. If all we were looking at by focus on the family was a political compromise.
Right.
Take Senator Mitchell. He's a politician.
Yeah.
You expect politicians, when you talk to them, to tell you what you want to hear. And you also expect that when push comes to shove, they will compromise some of what you heard. That's the nature of politics.
Right.
But if you're talking about Christian leaders, at the very least, you expect that they will stand firm for the principles of the faith. A religious leader is called upon to do certain things, and standing for whatever his faith may be, and the history of that faith, and what the Bible says, and so forth, if
right.
you're a Christian. That's pretty important.
That has to take precedent over any temporal political consideration.
You'd think.
You would think.
And now, actually, Dr. Dobson, I'm going to slightly disagree with you. I think Dr. Dobson has had a revelation.
Yeah.
He feels that homosexuals are victims. He's bought into the Freudian notion. You may have seen this. He says they didn't choose to be homosexuals, but they're not born that way. And he pretty well has bought into the Freudian notion that these poor kids were mistreated or whatever,
well,
and they developed into these lamentable adults. They're victims.
The more we respect and tolerate and legitimize homosexuality, the more we lower the threshold for young people to experiment with homosexuality. And so by going out of our way to give benefits to tolerate, to respect, to compliment, to understand homosexuality, we're actually, even if we don't intend it, promoting that destructive behavior. And we don't, Dr. Dobson doesn't do the same thing to child molesters. He doesn't go out of his way to say, we love child molesters, we want to give equal rights to child molesters. He doesn't do that because on that issue, he's clear that it's wrong and we need to do everything we can to oppose it. Whereas with homosexuality, he has crossed the line and now legitimizes homosexual behavior by declaring it legally valid. It's no longer criminal. Now we as Christians should defend a homosexual's right to be a homosexual.
Well, to a degree. I don't think he would put it quite that way. And, well, we, and in many respects, he would agree with much of what I or you would say about homosexuality.
About being destructive and a sin. But when it comes to legality, and Dr. Cameron, the elders of our church, Denver Bible Church, we met with Dobson's VP of Public Policy, Tom Minery, in 2005, about an hour and a half meeting, and they have changed their position on Amendment 2. Do you recall? You recall the Amendment 2 battle?
Oh yes, I was here and I was involved.
Yes, and as were we on the radio back in 1993. And Focus on the Family supported the passage of Amendment 2, and it passed with majority vote in the state of Colorado. And that amendment, do you recall? It gave people the explicit right to try to slow down the homosexual agenda, to refuse to hire a homosexual or to rent to a homosexual.
That's correct.
And Focus on the Family supported that.
That's correct.
Today, they would not. And here's why. We asked VP Tom Minery in person, and Dr. Dobson said on his radio show this week, it might have been on the show when he was angry at you, he said that we believe homosexuals have equal rights, the right to housing, the right to employment. And I asked Tom Minery, I said, Tom, he said those same words to us. I said, if that's true, why did you support Amendment 2 that specifically, explicitly gave people the right not to hire or not to rent to homosexuals? And he could not answer the question. Because
he did not answer the question?
Well, he did not. And okay. This was in an hour and a half meeting. And he couldn't answer it because of this. They have been changing their moral position over time because they're no longer true to God's word as the absolute moral standard, but they've become legal positivist and they roll with the political climate of the day so that today they're supporting things that they were horrified by 25 years ago.
Well, I don't follow them and monitor them in every jot and tittle, quite frankly. On this issue, I have followed them.
Right.
And I know that Dobson has adopted this quasi-Freudian view of homosexuals as victims. I know that he's now running an ex-gay ministry which delights in the victimhood status. In fact, one of the more interesting things, every one of these Love One Out conferences features a speech and a brochure by Joe Dallas, in which Joe Dallas compares the treatment of the church of homosexuals to the treatment by the Nazis of Jews in World War II.
Which is just tragic. And for one, the body of Christ, if it's to be faulted, it's faulted for overly respecting and tolerating and legitimizing a behavior that's destroyed millions of people.
Well, in my opinion, that's the case. I see no reason to. The church may or may not be wrong at any given instant. Obviously, we're made up of humans.
Right.
None of us is perfect, and every decision that the church makes is not necessarily good. Mm. On the other hand, if you get an issue like homosexuality, and you find the church in the year 300 AD, 800, 1200, 100 years ago,
right,
spoke with one voice.
30 years ago.
30 years ago, even. Yes. Then you've got to really ask yourself, what authorizes me to change what the church has done all these years? Do I know enough? Am I smart enough?
Right.
Am I empowered enough,
right,
to say, the game has changed? Here's the new direction that the church should take. And that's what I think Focus on the Family has done.
Is doing. Could I ask you, we're almost out of time. We only have a couple minutes left. A last question about the Bill 166. Focus on the Family saying it's not a homosexual benefits bill. It's like a elderly sister, sibling bill or something.
Oh, bunk.
Yeah, right. But if in Massachusetts, if a homosexual couple gets married by Massachusetts law today and they move to Denver, does this bill identify them as now they get reciprocal benefits in Colorado because they were a homosexual couple in another state, a married couple?
Yes.
It does.
They had a civil partnership.
Right.
Here it is, section 1415.105,
yep,
which doesn't apply to any heterosexual couple.
No, not even
domestic
sisters.
Partners registered pursuant to another state's law shall be deemed to have executed a reciprocal beneficiary agreement if the parties otherwise qualify.
Right. So the bill explicitly identifies homosexual marriages in Massachusetts or elsewhere and says that they're valid in Colorado and they're called reciprocal beneficiaries.
That's right.
Right. So that shows, of course, what the agenda is. This is a homosexual light marriage bill.
I can't see any way that it's other.
No.
And Matthew Staver says the same. He's the head of Liberty Council. If you'll get anybody who reads this bill, if you can read English,
yeah,
very quickly you'll see two things. Yes, Focus on the Family is correct and is telling the truth when it says it never mentions sexual orientation.
Right.
But they are not telling the truth when they say, well, actually, it has no particular benefits for homosexuals. Almost all the benefits, including this one, are just for homosexuals.
Right, and they will be the primary beneficiaries. Thank you so much, Dr. Paul Cameron. And your website, familyresearchinst.org. Thank you, doctor. And I really appreciate Dr. Paul Cameron joining us. And we're about out of time. I want to tell you, our telethon, we're at 69%. We just need another 30%. In fact, $75 will put us to 70%. So help us out at NYART, 800-8-NYART. Call us or go online at KGov, KGOV.com, and Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. Simply the best Christian school I've ever seen, Maranatha. Maranatha.